We pray. Lord, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. We hear from our Lord through the Apostle Paul what he wrote in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 5, 6, and 7. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? What ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. We all have our favorites when it comes to things that we prefer, like styles of music or brands of ice cream. People have a way of finding favorite persons that they rely on, a favorite doctor or hairstylist or insurance agency. Christians may end up doing a similar thing with their called workers, their spiritual leaders. Not that they shop around for a pastor, but maybe they compare. Maybe they compare their current pastor with former ministers who serve the congregation of which they are members. Or maybe they compare their current pastor to others in the church body, wishing at times that their pastor was more like so-and-so. I believe that at Emmanuel, year after year, students compare their profs. It's becoming something of a tradition. I can recall doing a similar thing once upon a time. But the fact remains, whether back then, or right now, or next year, it's a bad idea. Not only would it potentially go against the grain of what God wants for you and become potentially a sin on your part, but it's bound to interfere with a teacher-student relationship or a pastor-member relationship, and thus get in the way of God blessing you. We need to realize where the power is in a pastor's or a professor's ministry. Paul shows us. It has nothing to do with the person sent by God. It has everything to do with the power of God working in the message. Now, the text that I read to you has background. The apostle knew the temptation people have to focus on the man more than the message. He saw it firsthand at the church in Corinth. The members were playing favorites with preachers that they had. There was a group that liked Paul, and a group that favored Apollos, and a group that liked Peter, who wasn't even a pastor at Corinth. This favoritism was getting in the way of the gospel and doing harm. Now, the thing for us to consider 2,000 years later would be whether we are acting like the Corinthians did. Do we play favorites with our called workers? Each one of you will have to examine your own attitude about that. And I'd like to help you with a few pointed questions you can honestly answer for yourselves. Here's the first one. Will I listen to the sermon only if the pastor has a certain style that grabs me? Will I respect him and let him be my shepherd only if he has an outgoing personality and abundance of people skills? Will I accept what he tells me only if it's based on years of experience? Will I forgive him and still let him be my shepherd when he makes mistakes? Yeah, mistakes are going to be made. Remember that the pastor, the teacher, the professor are all people with human limitations, which God does not fix with a miracle. We're talking about people with the same weaknesses and the same sinful nature that you have. For that reason, the spotlight should not be on the person up here or in the pulpit or in the classroom. The chapel speaker is not the one who died for you and took your sins away. You know that. The pastor is not the one who gave you eternal life. The prophet is not the one who put faith in your heart. Your CLC pastor and your ILC professor are simply the tools through which God is working. You are God. That's the way we need to look at it, because that's the way it is. Now, there'd be nothing wrong with you appreciating what one of your called workers has done for you and showing that appreciation, thanking him for that work. Nothing wrong with that. But never should we depend on one individual or any one type of individual as though he's the only one who could effectively serve our spiritual needs. That is not the case. Where is the power in the ministry after all? It really has nothing to do with the different persons sent by God. It has everything to do with the power of God, the same power working in the message that you hear. I believe that this chapel situation is a good example of that. From one day to the next, it's a different person in front of you. Different men with different backgrounds, personalities, styles of presentation. And that's good. But as long as we're talking about a message from one day to the next that comes from the same source of biblical truth, as long as the preachers are bringing you the same law and gospel from the same Old and New Testaments, then it's going to be the same authority of God behind it, the same truth of Christ expressed by it, the same power of the Spirit working in your heart through it. To help you carry that perspective through day to day, let's go back to verse 6 of our text, which is a word picture. Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Put yourselves into the word picture. You are the growing plants in the garden of Jesus. Christ will use the pastor to water the garden. Pastor Tiefel talked about being a fishing rod. He's also a sprinkler. Jesus will use professor, teacher, pastor as the sprinkler to deliver the water of the gospel. Now, the sprinklers might be different and they might be moved around, but the water's the same. It has the same power of God to cause spiritual growth in you and me. You future and potential preachers and teachers of the word here in front of me, Lord willing, if that is your life calling in the ministry, it will not be your job to make the water more wet. It will not be your job to make the water sink in more deeply. The Lord will take care of that. So whether you are a hearer of the word or a witness sharing Jesus, whether you are someone training to be a ministerial proclaimer of the word, or you're doing that work already, we all can take heart in this promise from our Lord, Isaiah 55. As the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Let us thank God that He makes His message work both in the hearer and through the preacher, regardless of who that preacher may be. Amen. We think about these things and include them in the form of a prayer in the hymn that we sing, number 489, the first two stanzas of hymn 489.